Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Brand new show on BBS, and we are delighted to have you here with us today, and we are going to be answering your questions. We're going to start with Alexander from Portland. He says, I have been researching a topic for a while now about the great possibility that our Earth is hollow and that there is an inner civilization and sun. There are north and south polar openings which lead into this world. The people are very friendly and highly evolved, spiritually and with technology. By now, I nearly fully believe this conspiracy is true. So my question mainly is, what is your view on this, and have you any connections with these people if there is truth in this theory? Alexander, in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, which on today's pre-records is, we are today a few days ahead of Father's Day, so we're recording three or four shows today, and on today's pre-records, we are actually making a special offer, and that offer is that Secrets of the Hidden Realms we are giving at half price. This is the book for you, my brother. It has maps in it of the inner earth, because the old maps from the inner earth that they found in some of the vaults in Nazi Germany after, you know, the sort of fall of the Nazi Empire, they are obsolete, because about 30 years ago now, there was a massive situation in the inner earth where the land masses were very much altered because of the fact that there was a freezing that was completely uncustomary, and let's try that again, that they are completely unaccustomed to, because their temperature is very steady, and a freezing happened and then a flooding when it melted. And so their land masses experienced tremendous shifts in the face of the land. And the new maps are given in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. You can get that book for half price only if you quote this or the last week's show, the previous pre-recording we did, which for me is a few minutes ago. If you quote these shows and say it's the Father's Day special, you can get Secrets of the Hidden Realms when you hear this show. So that has a great deal of information on the inner earth, and it deals with languages of the inner earth. Atlantean, it says, is one of the most widely spoken languages on earth. And, you know, of course, it's in earth, but it's the most widely spoken language in earth today. So we've given you the alphabet of the Atlantean language, and the clock that they use, which is the Atlantean clock. And they say that their inner sun, and yes, indeed, I have had extensive communications and travels back and forth to the inner earth. And your assessment is mostly correct, and I'll tell you the pieces where it's a little bit different than what the studies have said that you've clearly pursued in my experience. So the first thing is that the little sun in the middle is called the smoky sun by the Hopis. It pulsates, and it pulsates every 24 hours. So the pulsation of the sun in the middle creates a twilight and a light time, and a twilight and a light time. They don't experience total darkness the way that we do. And so they have a clock based on this that is an incredible clock. I mean, it's accurate, also as a calendar. And this calendar is accurate too. I mean, you can, on the calendar, mark within 5 minutes when an event is to take place. That's the kind of calendar that that clock produces. It's just really quite an extraordinary piece of work. We have given you maps, we've given you the language, we've given you the clock, we even give you the population that are there. There are Germans there are Hebrews there, and those are the 10 lost tribes that disappeared when, let me see, it was a little bit before the time that Nebuchadnezzar took captive the tribe of Judah, and I think half a tribe of Manasseh. I'm not sure about Manasseh being the half tribe, but I think it is. And this is what Judea had become. After King Solomon, the tribes split. Judah and half a tribe of Manasseh went one way. The other 10 tribes with half a tribe of Manasseh went the other way. They divided the land. They became two nations under Jeroboam or Rehoboam are the two kings, I believe, that followed Solomon. When the Assyrians captured the 10 tribes, a little after Judea was captured by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia, nobody ever saw them again. They didn't return to their lands like the Judeans did. And I think that the returning to the lands happened during the time of Queen Esther. And you can read it in the Old Testament under Esther. But when the Judeans returned, the other tribes were missing in action. Nobody knew what happened to them. There are all kinds of theories about how they migrated to Ireland and all the rest of it. But in actual fact, they are found in the inner earth. And they still speak a form of Hebrew. They're the shortest people that are there. And then there are some very tall people. There's a small group of large, well, small as in hundreds, of the very large giants, which are 30 to 32 feet tall. Then there are the smaller giants that are between sort of 10 to 12 feet tall. Then there are groups of people that are 7 feet tall. You find all the races that you find on the outside of the earth, you also find in the inner earth. And it speaks about who lives where and so forth. The Germans went in an opening that's at the headwaters of the Amazon in Brazil. There are multiple openings. There is, in fact, a man-made opening from under the pyramid. And there is one or two in America. I do not remember off the top of my head where they are, but I believe that we have indicated them in maps in that book. It was just one of my favorite books, and we'll just give it to you for Father's Day sale for half price. Now, the parts that are not necessarily true, they're very friendly. That's very true. But of course, you know, it's like America. It depends which part of America you are on, because some parts of America, people are very shuttered. The crime rate is higher. Life is tenser. Then you come to the west coast of America here, and, you know, our brother Paul Downs is here from Amsterdam, to be our sound producer. And he says, Almin, I can't believe how nice these people are. I mean, if you forget your wallet in the store, they say, oh, don't worry. Take the groceries. Come back tomorrow. How are you doing today? You know, is your leg still hurting? They have a personal relationship with you. And they are that way on the West Coast. It's a more relaxed way of life. And so the inner earth is the same thing. But one thing that is for sure is that they are not very highly technologically evolved. They don't use technology. They don't, for instance, have a monetary system. It's a barter system. And, you know, you grow vegetables, I make your clothes, I mend your clothes, your chicken lays my eggs. That is how they work. We actually once had a group of women here and I was able to make contact with somebody inside the Hollow Earth, and he was due out in some years to be her partner. And she asked him, she said, "What do you do for a living?" And he catches fish. They have beautiful oceans teeming with fish, but they have not polluted their world because they refuse to have the technology. And so what they've done instead, my brother, is they have developed inner technology. That they are far ahead in terms of where we are. We've polluted our world with technology, but they've been developing inner technology. So there just isn't the technology that we think that there is. They use mostly inner. Now, the other thing is that, you know, we on Earth have somewhat of an infantile idea about hidden realms, alien races, and other lost civilizations. We somehow almost always think that they are more spiritual than we are. When it's a different type of a spirituality, it depends what you call spiritual. If spiritual means that you can speak to angels, that you can speak to fairies, etc., that you can see beings standing in your room, those are gifts. They don't necessarily imply impeccability. I just recently was contacted by a group of gods that are giants, very small group, that are in the crust of the earth underneath the northern Nazca Plains in Peru. And it's the northern sort of part where the plates actually come together. But they're underneath, and there's a very long tunnel to get to where they are. I think you have to come thousands of miles through this sort of a tube underneath the earth to get to where they are from the outer earth. And that is in Ecuador, the opening. These giant gods that are there left the inner earth because of corruption. There was a massive corruption among the gods, actually, and some of this spilled over into the world of giants. And the political intrigue amongst the giants and their plays for power and so on, including leaders of the inner earth, who should know better, over eons of existence, have been no better than you see on the external surface. So it's been very, very similar. Impeccability and spiritual gifts don't necessarily go hand in hand. And they are no more spiritual than we are on the outer earth. They have represented traditionally the, shall we say, the etheric body of the earth, and we have represented the physical body. There have been openings made in some of the ways to get back and forth through the earth, and one such place is Mount Shasta. This occurred last year, where the opening from Mount Shasta came through. And so for the first time, it's very much of a labyrinth. You have to know your way through. Plus, it had a very unpleasant guardian on the upper side of this tunnel through the earth. But Mount Shasta is one such place of openings. They're not very used to cold temperatures at all, so when they do come among us, they really struggle when there's cold. Their temperatures are, there's no seasons whatsoever, of course, and so there's just a few degrees fluctuation in their temperatures. So that's about it, but please do get that book, because that would be possibly one of the best places you can find direct experiential knowledge about the inner earth. Okay, well, we'll take a quick little break and we'll be back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. Receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns. Go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation from January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to lead the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Hello and welcome back to our second quarter. And I'm going to next answer a question from Adenike from the Netherlands. And this is the question. Is there anything you could say about the path between the dark and the light and how it was necessary to create this? I have been involved in this but have never heard anyone else mention it, and I wonder if you would. Now, because I'm not entirely sure how Adenike is using the word dark, I need to just start by differentiating as to what dark is and what it is not. And also, I'm not entirely sure if she means path between them as a literal interdimensional pathway, or if she actually is looking at it as a metaphor. But let's start in somewhere. Dark. Dark does not necessarily mean that which is opposite to that which is. If we mean, there are two ways we can use that word. We can mean it as non-life enhancing, but even that is a misnomer, because if something did not serve a purpose, it wouldn't be there. But let us take a look at that which is opposite to that which is illusion. That is one way to explain dark. Dark can also be, as we explained in last week's show, in fact, a form of light. Dark light, it can be said, is preferable. At times, now nothing is preferable because everything is in divine order, but if there are preferable aspects in living in dark light. If you are in a dark light cosmos, there is far more ability for exquisite creative expression to take place because it isn't bound within the confines of the three primary colors. We are currently in a white light cosmos, but that means we can only create from the red and the blue and the yellow as the primary colors. The subtle levels of light that we don't see with the physical eye is available if you are in a black light reality. And black light does not necessarily mean non-life enhancing. So I'm going to have to explain both ways because I don't know what Arnica means. And there has been, let's call it let's say this way. There are seven layers of white light in the level, in the cosmos in which we live. Underneath this, there are seven sub-layers of black light. Those on Earth that have been familiar with the black light layers have used it in mind control methods because it's subliminal light and it has been a subliminal mind. It's like the subconscious mind, but there are seven levels of these light. And in mind control, the further down they can force it, you know, the more control they have. So it's been used for very non-life enhancing ways. In the cosmos, it has a twin. It has these sub-levels of seven layers of light. That's the opposite to what we are. When that is the case, we are dealing with the feminine. The white light in which we dwell is the sub-personality of the infinite. That is the equivalent of what we would have as the inner warrior. It is that which analyzes, it is that which deduces, it is that which protects the boundaries of, it is that which strategizes for its inner family. The seven layers of sub-light or black light below us, yes, there are tunnels back and forth between the two. And these openings have been made in a very nefarious way by dark gods, gods of darkness. Let me explain to you what they did. They create, now this is hard to explain. Imagine a circle, and the inside of the circle has been turning. But let's just leave that for a moment. The room doesn't turn. Dark lords that manage to find their way out of the turning part of the cosmos onto the rim and embedded themselves into the layers that are like the skin on your body of the rim, found that they could keep themselves artificially immortal by stepping off the wheel of time. Time is movement. When you stay in your center, that movement passes you by, and you can do this through connection to source. That's how man can become immortal. But you can also become aware of the cosmic movement, step off of it, embed yourself in the matrix, and save your life that way, whether you have earned the right or not. If you do that long enough, you become known as a god. Multiple dark gods for three quarters of this rim have embedded themselves in the rim. What they did is they caused lightning. It works on the same principle as lightning, but like a lightning flashes into the turning wheel, which is femininely charged, negatively charged, vis-a-vis the rim, which is positively charged. It steals the well-being of that which is in the middle by making these lightning flashes. But the lightning flashes is the equivalent of somebody getting electrical shock treatment. So the seven layers of white light that is the cosmos has been comprised of, that has been the part within a circle that is spinning, has received shock treatment. Shock treatment makes actual holes in your etheric body. The etheric body is like a soup. It's like the broth in which the vegetables are spinning round and round as you stir it with your spoon. They've made holes in it, and so there have become leakages or passageways between the white light and the dark light below. What the dark light below is an upside-down world to the white light. It's only in understanding this that we can truly heal autism and also Alzheimer's, in understanding that the movement of this wheel isn't in fact a flat surface, but a spiral. And the Alzheimer patient leaves pieces of his mind along the spiral. The autism sufferer or patient, if you will, is in fact, his mind is in black light. And both instances, it makes backwards living, if you will. So it's only now that the healing modality for Belvaspital for autism is coming in. I have put it together. It's actually already been sent off to be typed, and also the one for Alzheimer's. But it requires the cooperation of the center of the circle. And the center of the circle deals with the above and below. In through frequency, it deals with black light frequencies and white light frequencies. So I have produced what we call 18 sound elixirs, because they're like alchemical elixirs. They combine white and black light, and it cancels out the illusion of the separation between the two. So to continue, there are passageways to the dark light. The dark light is, in fact, the cosmic inner nurturer. There has been great hostility from the nurturer to the warrior. Our cosmic inner family has not been happy with one another, because from the white light, those nefarious dark gods went through and pillaged the feminine. The feminine responded by subversive reactions and control of the way showers who are producing the rapid pace in our cosmos. So there's been back and forth problematic areas, but there is passages between the two if you want to go there. You know, it's not recommended. What's recommended is that within yourself, you combine the black and white light. The nurturer and the warrior become one. And as you do that, you start to look to the well-being of self, and it cancels out the illusion in your environment. Now, if we take a look at the other possibility of her words, the path between the dark and the light. The path between the dark and the light, cosmically, is the spiral that's like a spiral that's in a pyramid. And it goes, the pyramid is a three-sided pyramid, actually. And it goes to the top, and then it goes down again. It has been a Fibonacci spiral. The way to get out of this pyramid, in which, you know, if you come to the top, you have reached cosmic ascension. But the interesting part of it is, ascension isn't permanent. Ascension prolongs. But when it reaches its apex, you either need to break beyond it or you will go back down again. So we're at that point right about now as we're making this pre-record. And the way that we combine it is the warrior and the nurturer has to become one. The elder and the inner child has to become one. And then they pull to the middle, where there are no sub-personalities, there's only the spontaneous expression of your heart. And it's called the place of the Sacred Heart, to be exact. And Sister Dawn, Master from the Ohio Order of the Serpent Mound, who was just in Tampa, is the one who accessed that information. So, my brothers and sisters, the path from the dark, which is the bottom of the pyramid, to the top, is a spiral. If you're in the top part of that spiral, you can, in fact, in the past, go go back down the spiral to fix things. It's like a journey that's a descent. This has been changed, I hope, because as long as we go back and forth in time, we are making linear time. As long as we have linear time, we cannot break free. And if we don't break free, we have to do this whole thing all over again. So the path of into the dark has simply been the path into where we used to be, the spiral down to the base of the pyramid. Now, another issue of the path between light and dark is as yet somewhat unexplored. And, you know, I just look at exactly what's in front of me each day because I am given so much information and work each day. I don't even know where to put it all. You can plonk me in the corner and I can just be have my hand write books for the next 1,000 years and beyond, believe me, just from the libraries. And I just do what's in front of me each day. I don't look anywhere else. But I believe that this, that we will fully understand, no, not fully, but we will understand at least the first level of the purpose of the shadows. And it will be in large part that we understand that our path has been needing shadows and light to shape and create the embryo of cosmic life that is getting ready to birth at some point. That they have been a timing mechanism. They have been the thickening of the membrane. And as they become, as the shadows diminish, the membrane becomes thinner and thinner until it births a pristine creation of individuated life out the other side. It's a timing mechanism. So that is another way to look at the path between light and dark as the purpose that they both have served in whatever the purpose is for creation. And we are told that it is to delight the one life, and we are the one life, so that it will bring a fullness of beingness to us. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content that is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, and we're going to talk now a little bit more about, well, in fact, let's just answer this question from Richard from Texas. My brother has two different questions here, and I'll see how much of it I can cover. So during each pod that I've been to, you've stated that the infinite gifts us with something. For instance, the gift of the God Kingdom or the gift of languages. Are these gifts absolute or contingent based upon our awareness? My assumption is they are contingent due to my own experience. Do we need to do anything to access these gifts? Well, Richard was at our very wonderful Tampa workshop that we were fortunate enough to have. Our brother Tim Holt and our sister Antara did just a wonderful job in putting it together. We were right on this beautiful ocean and palm trees and just exquisite. So the class was told, not by myself, but during one of the times when the Infinite was speaking to the class, that they would all be receiving the gift of languages. So now let's look at that, because possibly somebody, maybe not Richard, but let's take, say, Susie, or I don't think we had two Susies there, but let's not pretend it's them. Let's say Susie goes home, and she's saying, well, when are these languages going to turn up? It is as simple as putting some effort into it in the following way. Personally, now, for me at this stage, you know, the languages, if you give me, well, I can say one word, but let's say three words, because that's the nicest. If you can give me three words of a language, I can access the language. I hear the three words and I hear the sentences complete themselves, and I will speak it as they do, and I'll be speaking the languages. But when I initially started, Richard, I would, for instance, have to rock back and forth from left to right foot, because it's sort of, used to bring for me a cooperation between left and right brain, and it's with right brain oriented gifts that I wanted to access. But then I would be somewhere like in the shower, where one can click out of mind and you don't have to think of anything, and I'd be rocking back and forth, and then I'd stand under the hot water and allow my mouth to start speaking. Not be afraid that I'm speaking gibberish. Just say something. Like, let me give you an example. I'm going to try and speak a language that I have never spoken before as an example. Ekanarkvik. Okay, I'll hear that word. Ekanarkvik. Now, I have no idea where it comes from. I'm closing my mind now to its meaning, because I usually have full telepathic interpretation of these languages, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to pretend I'm you. I just say Ikanarkvik. That's all I'm hearing. So I'm in my shower saying Ikanarkvik, Ikanarkvik, over and over and over and over. And it might go on for three showers. By the fourth shower, I hear a second word, Ikanarkvik, Erkstatnat Haras. Okay. So I say, Ikanarkvik, Estatnat Eras. I say it over and over and over, and then I hear something, something, but I can't make it out. And then I hear another word that says, Bartnat. So then, in between, I'll just go, la, 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 Bartnat Prahat. Then, la, 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 Estatnat Urt, Net Etret, Hart Kurnat. Okay, I just speak it. Because I don't know what the heck is coming out, but I don't care. So you start to practice. You start to hear that first word. It's like at the end of the thread that goes into the labyrinth. And you grab hold of it, my brother, and you speak it. But then sometime you have a strong emotion. And the strong emotion will just bring forth a whole deluge of language. Don't worry for months if you need to in understanding what you're saying. You'll find that your life changes when you start to speak these languages, like the language I've just spoken. Let's see if I can get its meaning. I can immediately feel it speaking about gemstones. And I'm saying now to myself, I wonder who's speaking. Now I start to see an image in front of me, and it's a little dwarf. And little meaning about 3 foot, maybe 3.5 feet. It's a dwarf. And the dwarf has a face like an old man, but not, it doesn't look old. It's just sort of, you know, the features are that way. And he's smiling, and he's very proud, and he's holding out a gemstone. Now, You may not get what he's saying, but that's important enough. So you start to keep a diary. And you write down that this is what you see. Now you feel what you feel around him. And he feels very proud of the gemstone. He thinks you're going to be very happy about it. Okay, so see if you can repeat more of his words. If you can't, you acknowledge with gratitude that he's produced a very beautiful gemstone. Or he's kept a very beautiful gemstone. You don't know if he made it or if he's just guarded it or if it's a magic gemstone. But you just express your pleasure with it, with feelings and images. So now you're starting to converse, even though you don't know what your language means. So then the next thing that would happen is you start to get its meaning. And what I have just said is the dwarfs have produced a new gemstone. It is red. And this is what they've just said to us. And eventually, and you never will be able to match the words up. In other words, this word doesn't mean this, this word doesn't mean that. Because many of these languages have, like, well, mother's language has over 100 words for the word I. Because every time you say I, it has a slightly different frequency. So this is the way you can access. And even for those of you that are speaking a language, try and speak more. Because the goal is that you can speak any language by becoming the Seer's Stone. How to become the Seer's Stone is in our second angel book, which will be available to you, I would imagine, I'm hoping the end of July, but it might be early August. And it's called Sacred Secrets of the Angels, and it's how to become a Seer's Stone. Push your boundaries. If you can do a language, try and do another language. If you can do languages but you don't know what they say, just start to put something down. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. The likelihood of mistakes decreases the more you just do it. So that's my recommendation to everyone, not just Richard from Texas, on how to develop a language ability like that. When the Infinite said, all here will receive languages, they are already activated in the brain. And it's just waiting for you to start to get your mouth used to speaking them. That's all there is. Now, as for other gifts, you know, for instance, the gift of the God Kingdom, for sure, if that, unless you are holding. Now, last week we spoke to my brother Mark in Belgium. So it's well worth listening to that as well in answering his question. And the point is that if you're hanging on to linear time, some of these things are delayed. But in your case, my brother Richard, it is more than likely that it's not that you're hanging on to linear time, it's just that you have to acknowledge what has happened to you. It has become easy. When the masters went into their mastery in my classes initially, believe me, there were physical symptoms that made it completely clear that something massive was happening in the transfiguration. I have had to buy so many blankets because my class was sitting there shaking, absolutely icy cold because of what we were seeing, and they were transfiguring as a result of it. Some, you know, would go into this heat, and some would feel constricted like they couldn't breathe. So this has been made easy. Acknowledge it and live it, Richard, truly. Let us suppose, for some reason, that you did not go into an advanced stage of such and such. Define yourself by what you are becoming. Live it, and you soon shall be. But I am telling you, in your case, it already happened. Just live it. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background, in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Windows into Eternity. Revelations of the Mother Goddess is now available from Almin. This book provides unparalleled insight into ancient mysteries. Almin, an internationally recognized mystic and teacher, reveals the hidden laws of existence, transcending reason, delivering visionary expansion. This metaphysical masterpiece explores the origins of life as recorded in the holy libraries. The release of information from these ancient libraries is a priceless gift to humankind. The illusions found in the building blocks of existence are exposed, as are the purposes of creation. To receive your copy of Windows into Eternity, Revelations of the Mother Goddess, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And we have an interesting question from Lale in Paris. And we have been studying the agendas that gods of darkness have had in incarnating among men. And of course, the very, very large part of this will be part of the Institute of Applied Mysticism that will soon, I think in about a month's time, if I guess, be presenting its three-month course of the science of immortality and incorruptibility. So please watch for that. And it's the Institute of Applied Mysticism. And on there you will learn much about the agendas of these dark gods and how they correspond to core illusions, how we can change those illusions in our own life and not only cosmically bring an end to them, but actually work our way into what is called incorruptibility. She's asking, can some of these gods of illusion or the beings they have created to put us out of our center be also present among your students or have infiltrated them in some way? Lale, this has absolutely been the case in every place where there's light. Because in many of the major pillars of light on the planet, and we have among us 56 physical gods that have, in fact, come from the very beginning of creation. They are called the Ancient Ones, and they have come to help us establish a sacred government on Earth through self-government. And they are among us also disguised as humans. So the Dark Ones have been. And the places where they are most likely to congregate is where there is something of worth for them to gain, either in suppressing the light or in draining with the light, or draining of resources. And my classes have been a major pivot point for many cosmic events. The masters that have come into my classes have been major pivot points. So for sure, that is a place where infiltration happens. I am aware of it. Maybe, you know, 60% of the time when I go into a class where this is the occasion. But, you know, for sure, by the end of the class, I am 100% aware of it. It is for me something that we are going to experience until we have gotten everything that is in duality back into oneness. That is an ongoing process. It's becoming more and more clarified, rarefied as we are, you know, going from the bottom of the pyramid all the way to that tippy top. But until everything becomes one, right now, the big change that's taking place is that transformation, transmutation, transfiguration are each, they are the three stages of change, and we write about the anatomy of change and what these represent in the book Journey to the Heart of God. However, the goal is that they actually, there's no change, because everything that is illusional disappears effortlessly because we have entered the place where there is no illusion. Change is actually part of our illusions. And this is something we will be studying during the Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility course. That's a 3-month course. We will be studying this because really the infinite is new every moment, but it's changeless change. Let me express it this way. You have an orchestra on the stage, and as you sit on the stage playing the symphony as part of the violins, it doesn't mean that you're now suddenly playing the drums. The instruments are not changing. The musical piece is not changing. The musical piece might be predictable, like say it's the Handel's Messiah. It might be predictable, but it's the newness with which every moment of it is played that has never been played before. So it's changeless change. And the infinite's expression is the same way. It's like that symphony on stage. And the gods of illusion you will find in the families as spouses and as partners of the major light workers on earth. They will most certainly gravitate to classes. I have asked that the infinite only allow them to come in there when they bring us great teachings that there is no other way to get, or a great reminder that it is time for the next level of oneness. And so as that, you know, I know that when they're there, they're bringing us great gifts. They are as welcome as somebody that comes to learn, because they also bring great gifts. My classes are not lectures. As you know, Lale, of course, but for those who are here, Lale, by the way, is putting a pod together in Paris for a weekend. So if you feel inclined in September to visit our Paris class, many of the masters from America are flying there, I know, it will be an extraordinary and beautiful experience. So we have wonderful things in store for next year that I'm going to kind of spill the beans on here. My brothers and sisters, next year we are going to try and tie in some cruises to some events. Some things we're considering, and it's just under considering stages right now. Logistics need to be worked out to make sure that it stays affordable. But it is not that expensive to take cruises either out of Tampa, Florida, or out of the West Coast of America. So, for example, we're thinking of putting a Sedona workshop together in the beautiful, beautiful Sedona area with the Anasazi cliff dwellings and the wonderful red rocks where we are. We could see the eagle hunting while we're giving class. It was so beautiful. And a weekend there, and go straight from the weekend as a group to anybody who wants to have more than just the weekend on a 6-day cruise. Our 3-day weekend classes are 18 hours of lectures. On a 6-day cruise, we will do 3 hours each night. It also will be an 18-hour lecture, but you will have the ability to see Baha, You'll see Acapulco, you'll see Mazatlan, La Paz, I believe, on the Mexican cruise that Christina from Toronto is thinking of putting together in conjunction with our sister Joanne, who is our facilitator for Sedona. We're going to look at doing 3 days in a location. People that just want to come for that, no problem. Then we're going to do a six-day cruise with the equivalent of 3 days of instruction. And people that just want to come for that, no problem. But for those that want to put them together, we're willing, you see, that would be a wonderful opportunity. So we're hoping to do one on the west coast of Mexico. And perhaps later in the year, do a Tampa workshop for 3 days. And Christina was interesting in again, combining the Mexican cruise. She's fluent with her Spanish. She'd make a wonderful tour leader. Also, if you want her assistance during the day as we go to various ports in Cancun. So she's thinking of that later next year, but earlier in the year, the West Coast cruise. We're also looking into the possibility of Joanne organizing a cruise among the Hawaiian Islands. And that's always nice for people that don't, I believe, now this is something she'll need to do research on, but that don't have a passport handy, because for most cruises you need a passport. This stays in American waters. But to put a workshop in Hawaii and then go straight from there to a cruise, so you can do one or the other or both, and they each provide 18 hours of instruction. So thank you, my brothers and sisters. I hope that we can again have your presence with us during our next pre-record, which is in a few minutes, or for those of you that are listening to this live next week. Goodbye.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.